T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
The NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Matt Miller's on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, one of our beloved football experts. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, let's start with the national championship game. All that talent on display. A lot of that talent now deciding that they're going to head to the NFL, and your head must be spinning as you have to keep getting your reports and rankings updated with each next name that declares.
Yeah, yesterday LSU had 6 guys declare for the NFL draft, and it's crazy because, like you said, guys, that game, I had 27 prospects for 2020 on there, and a couple of the guys that have declared I thought were 2021 guys. So, I mean, you could say there's like 30 guys, and I tweeted last night, it was like, this LSU exodus is crazy, and I had a scouting friend of mine who covers the SEC. He texted me, and he was like, man, I bet they have double-digit guys leave LSU because, you know, we haven't heard from guys like, you know, Caleb on Chason is still out there. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire declared after that last night. So there's a lot of guys that you know, when you win a national championship, you kind of feel like, okay, well, I'm a winner. You know, my draft stock has to be high. But guys, I also think, like, when you look at what Joe Burrow just did, that dude accounted for 65 touchdowns this year. It's the greatest single season I've ever seen from a quarterback. If you're Justin Jefferson or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we haven't heard from Thaddeus Moss yet. If you're those guys, two of his offensive linemen, why the hell would you go back to LSU when Jesus Christ at quarterback is now graduated and headed to the Cincinnati Bengals as the number one overall pick? So I think a lot of these guys, and I'm sure some agents got into their ears and said, you really want to come back for the Miles Brennan show, or you want to go out as a champion because you're probably never going to be able to top what you just did?
Outside of Joe Burrow, including both LSU and Clemson, guys who might not even be eligible for this coming draft, who raised their profile the most?
Yeah, I really thought Patrick Queen, the linebacker for LSU, did number 8, and we saw him declare. And he's just an athlete, and I know there's some people at LSU that probably aren't real happy with me because I kept tweeting, like, this guy's underrated. Not enough talk has been spent on Patrick Queen. And when you look at, like, what do we want in an inside linebacker in the NFL, that dude's it. And with Dylan Moses going back to Alabama, I think there was a big gap in the linebacker class, and now I think Patrick Queen can jump right in and fill that spot. Now, the guys who aren't draft eligible, obviously, you know, Trevor Lawrence didn't have a great game, but I think that's more a testament to that suffocating LSU defense. Derek Stingley Jr. is the best corner in college, and it's a shame he didn't win the Thorpe Award. It's a shame that he's not talked about more, and I think it's because he's a true freshman, but he is Darrell Revis on the college level. Wow. He completely eliminated the right side of the LSU defense. Trevor Lawrence did not throw at this man, and we're going to see that the next 2 years. You're probably not going to see a lot of stats from Derek Stingley Jr. because of how good he is on defense. If I'm LSU, I'm going to put him at receiver opposite Ja'Marr Chase and Terrence Marshall and say, you know what? You're probably not even playing that much on defense because everybody's afraid to throw at you. So let's get you some reps on offense. Let's win you a Heisman Trophy like Charles Woodson did. And then speaking of Ja'Marr Chase, he was, other than Joe Burrow, he was the best player on the field. And he's a true sophomore. So we'll be talking about him next year. I think you have to look at 2021, and it's super early, but you got to think he's a top 5 pick. I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Ja'Marr Chase both would be top 5 picks. So it's not just this year's class that we saw represented out there. You're getting a pretty good look at next year as well.
You mentioned Thaddeus Moss. Bears are in the market for multiple tight ends. How good is he? Where does he project?
You know, he's raw, guys. And I think you can see, you know, the type of player he is. I think a lot of folks are going to say, oh, it's Randy Moss's kid, and think that he's a diva or he's soft, but he's not. You know, he gives a lot of effort in the run game. You saw his catch radius, you know, with some of those catches in the end zone. And one of my favorite things about Thaddeus is that with LSU, you have those 3 receivers who are just amazing. and you got a great running back who can catch the ball. Where he really gets a chance to show up then is the red zone. And I like that because he's a developed red zone route runner. He knows how to use space. He knows how to rub off on routes and box guys out. And at 6'3", 250, he has really good size while not losing any athleticism. So he's a little bit of an older guy. He started his career at NC State, transferred to LSU, and really hadn't done a whole lot until this year. So it's a little bit of a, you know, a risk there because we haven't seen him do a whole lot in college football. But I think you can say that about a lot of the LSU guys where, you know, they were held back a little bit by the scheme before Joe Brady gets there. So with, you know, with Moss, this is his first year starting at LSU, and he had 47 catches and 4 touchdowns. So he's a good player that I think the arrow is still pointing up on a little bit.
So the Bears make a coaching move, a couple of coaching moves over the last week or so. What do you know? How do you feel about John DeFilippo?
Here's what I know, and I can remember – I'll pause because I'm trying to think what I can say and what I can't say. I can remember when the Jets
– Well, just say everything, because, man. You know, that's fine. Just say all the things.
Yeah, we have a – on my podcast, we have a huge Jets listenership, right? And because they're always bad, so they're big fans of the draft. And they wanted John DeFilippo as their head coach. And I was just, I mean, perplexed by this. He's been fired now his last two stops. I don't think that's a good look. And maybe he can get along with Matt Nagy. You know, we had talked before about Pat Shurmur. I thought that would have been a good hire. And he goes to Denver. And Denver's offense, watch, guys, is going to be a lot more explosive, a lot more big plays. So with Chicago to get John DeFilippo, having him as just the quarterback's coach might be beneficial. It might be good. I think you can look at, you know, watch Minnesota last year. You guys saw him twice. That's the kind of offense that he runs. That's what he's going to do. You can look at, I think, what he did for Gardner Minshew this year and see some positives. I like the fact that he's like the fourth dude on the totem pole and not the offensive coordinator. But I think you have to worry about someone who, you know, 2 years ago, everyone thought he was going to be a head coach someday. So does he know where he belongs in this pecking order? Or is he a guy who's going to be trying to be upwardly mobile and there's going to be a lot of politics and you know, it's going to be like, you know, the Cleveland Browns with everybody trying to leapfrog each other. So having him behind Bill Lazor, behind Dave Ragone, who I have a ton of respect for Dave. I mean, hell, I'm old enough to remember when he played at Louisville. So just a ton of respect for what he's done in the NFL. And, you know, he's been with you guys for a while. It'll be interesting to see him get elevated and see where he's at. But I like the fact that Matt has gone out and hired guys who've done it in the NFL. You know, before it was, oh, he's bringing in these college ideas with Mark Helfrich. And, you know, you're bringing in Harry on the offensive line. Those college guys are gone, you know, now. And it's Juan Castillo and Bill Lazor. And it's people who've been around and done it. So I think, if you want to, you know, be optimistic about it, it's that side of it. But I'm not a big John DeFilippo guy.
What do you think of Lazor?
He's been around a lot. And so I think my thing is, like, what's his philosophy? You know, and he's not been anywhere for a long time. I guess I should say that. So, you know, is he going to be more Andy Reid? You know, he was with Andy for a year. He was with Chip Kelly, in Philly. So he's going to be a little more run and shoot. And then he goes to, you know, Miami after that. So, like, what is his philosophy? I think is one thing I would want to try to figure out because, I mean, even like what, you know, in Cincy, which I guess was his last stop, it's hard to figure out what his scheme is because this last year it was so much of Zach Taylor. So I guess that's the thing. I don't know what he's trying to bring to the table. Is it going to be, you know, this modified West Coast, which would fit pretty well with Matt Nagy, but, or is it going to be, you know, I think his roots are Mike Holmgren, so you still have some West Coast in there. But, I mean, he's been in the NFL for like 25 years. I guess that's a positive. But he's never been anywhere more than a year or two. So I think like with John DeFilippo, that's where you start to worry a little bit about, like, why hasn't this guy stuck anywhere? Why hasn't he in 20 years, you know, stayed somewhere longer than 2 years and not being incredibly upwardly mobile despite the fact that he was with some good Seahawks teams, you know, with Chip Kelly, it seemed like everything he touched, everybody wanted that first year in Philly. So I think the fans can be skeptical, but also, you know, with coaching changes, it's the same as with draft picks. Everybody wants to be optimistic, and there's a 50-50 chance it works out. But I think you can look at the history with some of these guys and say, God, what are we getting, and how long is this team going to stay together?
There are now two connections to Nick Foles on this Bears coaching staff in Lazor and John DeFilippo. Lazor having worked.
I knew we were going there.
We have to, you know. I mean, we have to because I still think, Matt, that the most important change in this Bears offense is going to be whatever quarterback or quarterbacks get added to it. So for that reason, you got to take a look at some of the options out there. If you were to trade for Nick Foles, and the Jaguars are willing to make a deal like this, they save some money in eating some cap space. It's not the 30 or whatever that he's attached to. The Bears would be on the hook for something like 16. Would you, not if you were just the Bears, but if you were an NFL franchise looking for somebody at quarterback, would you make a trade if you could get him for something reasonable, like a draft pick, like a lower draft pick, and be attached to a $16 million Nick Foles?
Yeah, for that price, absolutely. But that's assuming that the Jags are going to eat, you know, half his contract. I think what his cap hit for next year is right around 33, or it's 22 million cap. It's 33 dead. So, I think Nick Foles at 15 is interesting. And like with Nick Foles, like, you know, he hit the perfect situation in Philly. You know, team's playing well. Carson Wentz gets hurt, and he just kind of guides the ship, and he, you know, does a good job. I don't want to take anything away from him. I was excited for him to get a shot to be a starting quarterback in Jacksonville, but I think it's like, you look at the Jaguars, and I think we can all agree they're not very good at football.
No.
If they don't want Nick Foles, why do you want Nick Foles? You know, it's like, if he's not good enough for Jacksonville,
right?
Do you really want him in Chicago? I mean, as a backup, sure, but I like, the salary doesn't bother me so much as, like, I mean, is he actually good? Is he actually better than Mitch? I would rather use that draft pick on a quarterback whose traits I liked and try to develop someone as opposed to paying $16 million for a backup.
No, I mean,
because
I get
it's
that.
3 years. So you got 3 years left on this deal. So it's not just the, okay, well, for 1 year, he's going to be cheap. It's how long is Jacksonville going to, you know, pay half his contract for you? I think, I understand the connection. That's just probably not something I would want to do.
I guess from my perspective, I don't know that the Bears can really be concerned about other teams' quarterback evaluations, especially, you know, in the Jaguars case where you've got Gardner Minshew attached to a $0 contract, essentially, and something you could potentially build around. Like, that cost-benefit ratio is pretty hardcore. You can build around a guy like that if he's an average NFL quarterback. Like, The Bears are in a situation, in my opinion, where you have to bring in anybody who's shown to be at least an average quarterback for 10 games in a season because you don't have a guy like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. They need to bring someone in. And it's crazy because, like, 8 weeks ago, I would have said Ryan Tannehill was the guy to bring in. Bring in a veteran, you know, someone who can move around a little bit and is, you know, kind of like an Alex Smith-type quarterback. So it makes me wonder if someone, you know, whether it's a trade for Foles, the Bears don't have very many draft picks. So I wonder if it's someone like Marcus Mariota, you know, where, okay, not an exciting player by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe if we can get him in a stable environment, because I think you can look at, you know, you can look at what Tannehill has done, you know, as a good example of, you got a guy in a bad situation with a ton of turnover, just getting him somewhere stable, and they have a chance to blossom and flourish. So if I'm the Bears, that's probably the model I'm looking at, because, you know, here we are, we're 3 years into it. And I think it is unfair to compare Mitch to Patrick and Deshaun Watson, but I think you could say, okay, we're 3 years in and it's not happening. So what are the chances then in the next 2 years he flips the switch and becomes great? I think you have to start thinking about contingency plans because, you know, after next year, you got to think, are we picking up this fifth year option? That's going to be pretty expensive. So I think it is smart to look at every angle and say, okay, and that's what they should be doing. You know, a lot of guys are at Shrine Game or NFLPA right now, but, you know, Ryan Pace and his top lieutenant should be having those conversations of, okay, we got to bring in some competition. And you know, there's a lot of factors into that. If you don't want to shake Mitch's confidence, you don't want all of us guys and the media going crazy over it. So how do you bring in a good backup, somebody who can actually compete and push Mitch and maybe help show him how to be, you know, better in the NFL, while also getting, you know, like getting someone who's good enough that if, you know, what we saw at the start last year happens again, you feel comfortable handing them the keys. That's why I don't think, like, Chase Daniel, like, Chase is a good dude. He's made a ton of money. I'm really happy for him. But I think they can do better than that.
As we turn our attention to this week's championship games, we were talking yesterday about Derrick Henry and the rarity of a late bloomer running back, especially one who is a Heisman Trophy winner. Can you remember somebody who wasn't who he was in the league from jump at that position?
No, it never happens. And I have taken so much crap on Twitter the last, you know, 4 weeks about Derrick Henry because I did not like him. And what I've told people is I've never seen two things. I've never seen a running back at his size have success in today's NFL. It just does not happen. I mean, he was 6'3", 250 at the combine. And so you can point to, like, oh, well, Eddie George. Eddie wasn't that big. You know, it was a different era, too. You know, I mean, he came out in 1995. So I think it was like guys like Derrick Henry don't exist in the NFL anymore. And then the fact that for 2 years he had like one good game. And so that used to be my retort. You know, he had that huge game against the Chiefs in the playoffs, and people would be like, oh, you were so wrong. I was like, so I had one good game. And here we are 2 years later, he's about to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. So it is shocking. It's crazy. I think you have to, you know, give him a lot of credit for, you know, he's talked about the fact that he talked to Eddie George about how to manage, you know, his body better. He's cut weight. I think you see that, you know, he's faster. He's so strong late in game. So his conditioning has obviously changed and improved. And like we talk all the time, guys, situation matters so much. If the Titans don't hire Mike Vrabel, yeah, and if they don't then go to Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, like what is, if Matt LaFleur is still the offensive coordinator, or if Ryan Day had been hired as offensive coordinator like they wanted, is Derrick Henry still having this breakout? I don't think he is. So I think situation matters, which, you know, it's, the internet exists so people can go back and laugh at bad takes. But I think that, you know, in a perfect world, we would apply context to those takes and be like, man, for 2 years, Derrick Henry looked like a backup and a bust, and now he's the best running back in football, which is going to make this decision on, do they pay him? He's a free agent. Do you pay a guy who's just turned 26 years old and has over 800 carries in the NFL already? I don't know any running back whose second contract looks good right now. So I think a lot of Titans fans might be heartbroken when the front office says, listen, we're going to sign Ryan Tannehill long term, and we're going to let Derrick Henry test for agency, and maybe they use a franchise tag for a year. But, you know, you don't pay running backs, especially guys who have taken as many hits as he has. I don't know if you guys know this. Apparently, he has the most carries ever in high school football as well. So this is a dude who, like, can't, if there's tread left on those tires, then he is a rarity indeed.
All right, who wins these games?
Oh, God. You know you're putting me in a bad situation because I'm a Niners fan. I have been since 1989, and my six-year-old son is a Chiefs fan. And so it's like we are truly, like, right now we're kind of eyeballing each other. Like, okay, what's going to happen? I do think those two teams win. I mean, they're the higher seeds. They're both playing at home. I think the Titans are going to give the Chiefs all they can handle. It's going to be a really good game. I think both teams are a lot different than the last time we saw them play. With the Packers and Niners, I don't know that those teams are a lot different than the last time we saw them play, which was not that long ago, and the 49ers absolutely destroyed them, you know, with the pass rush that they had. So I think, you know, the home field advantage in San Francisco is not the same as it is in Kansas City, obviously, but that pass rush is just, it's so good. You know, and they played Thanksgiving weekend, it was 37-8. And, you know, with the Niners, you can say, you know, even then, you know, not having the offensive line, everybody being healthy and back together, they didn't actually run the ball very well that day. The Niners didn't. So as long as, you know, George Kittle's healthy, I saw he was limited. As long as Kittle's healthy, you know, he had 130 yards last time they played. So as long as he's good to go, I think the Niners are a good bet, and I'll pick the Chiefs to win, but I think it's close.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you, Matt.
Matt Miller brought to you by the Chicago Boat, RV, and Sail Show. Improve your catch at the Progressive Insurance Chicagoland Fishing, Travel, and Outdoor Expo. Find deals on the latest fishing gear, tackle, and boats, plus seminars with pro anglers January 23rd through 26th at the Schaumburg Convention Center. Go to sportshows.com.
A little baseball when we come back. Michael Bauman of The Ringer has written some pretty smart stuff on both the cheating scandal rocking Major League Baseball and the Cubs in action in this offseason. We'll talk with him next on Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It wasn't a good weekend on the field. That's a good offensive team. We know that. They're a lot better than last year. The attention to detail is phenomenal. I was joking with somebody that their biggest free agent acquisition is Carlos Beltran. I know how it works, you know. He's helping a lot.
He literally winked when he said Carlos Beltran. Literally.
Actual
wink when he said that. That was part of the sound that we played, the astonishing sound from the London game when the Yankees put it to the Boston Red Sox. Alex Cora, who will be a name that's going to live in infamy in the history of baseball. If he ever manages again.
Well, I don't think he will.
I kind of don't think so either.
Maybe.
So here to talk about that and more on Sports Radio 670 The Score is Michael Bauman of The Ringer. You can find his work on Twitter at Michael Bauman, and he is with us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's going on, Michael? How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're really good, and just trying to make some sense of every day's next headlines in this cheating scandal. There's no way Carlos Beltran survives this, no matter how the Mets dither. What do you think?
I gave up predicting the behavior of Mets management a long time ago. I think it's a sucker's bet to try to figure out what they're going to do. It does seem I think it's suspicious. I'll say this. I think it's suspicious that he's the only player who is mentioned by name in the commissioner's report that came out on Monday. Maybe that's just because he's retired and still in a prominent position, but so many other players were either reportedly granted immunity for cooperation or left out of the report for other reasons. He is one of two people who's named as one of the ringleaders along with Alex Cora. So, you know, we'll see what happens to Cora long term, but who knows?
Michael, I think to a certain degree, granting those players immunity was a necessity for Major League Baseball. Not that I'm giving them the whole, you know, it's okay, you did the right thing on all of their investigation here. Giving immunity to those players has some problems. I wonder if you're fine with that process or if you see some, you know, kind of ugly tentacles attached to it.
I think you and I are on the same page on that one. You know, I find it unsatisfying. And, you know, I wrote on Monday afternoon that what's going to end up happening is the Astros aren't really going to suffer a lot for this. You know, they lost, I think, one of the better general managers and probably, in my opinion, the best field manager in Major League Baseball. But you know, they can replace they can find somebody else to do that job almost as well. The draft picks are going to hurt. The money is not. And they keep the World Series title. And I don't know how big a disincentive that is unless you make one of those. You know, I don't want to throw a specific name out there without, you know, to make it look, you know, I don't know who was involved and who wasn't. But unless you sit some of those players down, you know, I don't see how this is going to hurt. But at the same time, I want the truth more than anything else.
Yeah.
And so if granting immunity or sort of this blanket amnesty is the price we paid for that, you know, it's not a perfect solution. It's unsatisfying, but I don't really have a better option.
Are you on the side of more technology to combat technological cheating or less?
Less. So one of the solutions that's been bandied about, I think Hannah Kaiser of Yahoo reported on this a couple weeks ago, is they're toying with the idea of some sort of earpiece or headset system to go from dugout to catcher to pitcher. I just don't know how you could be aware of sports in the past 20 years and think that that's not going to get hacked or interfered with. It happened in the NFL 10 years ago. And so this whole thing is is the result of unnecessary technology. We don't need a video replay room. If you're gonna challenge a blown call, it makes sense to me that the call needs to be blown badly enough that it's visible to the naked eye in real time. Like, all of this is just the over reliance on technology, and it creates the temptation. And I think it's the temptation being there doesn't absolve the Astros or reportedly any number of almost a dozen other teams from trying to take advantage of it. But this is roll it all back. Get rid of the replay rooms. Get rid of tablets and dugouts. Don't even think about putting a walkie-talkie system. Like, just get better signs. And that's where I come down. But I suspect, because there's going to be money in technological advancement, that baseball is going to go the other direction.
He's Michael Bauman of The Ringer, covers Major League Baseball, covers the biggest story going on in Major League Baseball these last couple of days. I wonder, though, Michael, whether it's technology, whether it's the drive to cheat, which has always existed in Major League Baseball, the league itself seems to be efforting to silo this to just the Astros and just the Red Sox. Like, it was just a couple of guys here and a couple of guys there, and that this isn't rampant throughout Major League Baseball, despite the fact that you've got guys like Cody Decker of Radio.com Sports, who told us just the other day he knows of teams outside of those two that are doing this sort of thing. It's early on in this whole, scandal, but do you think Major League Baseball's approach to trying to make this just two teams is set to work? Do you think they'll be able to convince a baseball-watching public that it was just these two incidents?
I don't know if it's going to work, but this was the thrust of the second column I wrote about this when Cora got fired. Is it does look like Major League Baseball is trying to cauterize this wound, as opposed to going back and investigating the causes of the rot. And I think, in my opinion, the two causes of the rot are a sort of win at all costs or achieve your goal at all costs mentality that's been, I think, has always existed in sports. The Astros scandal is not materially different than what the New York Giants were doing in 1951. So this is not like a unique thing, but that drive, I think, has been deepened by some of the people who have come in from the management consultant sector, or the finance sector, including Jeff Luhnow. And that attitude really pervades baseball these days. But at the same time, that's a profitable attitude I don't think there's a, I see Major League Baseball's interest in trying to cut this off at two teams, and the rest of us are just going to have to deal with the irony that the Dodgers fans at least are sort of crowing about this. They want the local media in LA wants the title overturned when the Dodgers have been accused of something similar by the Brewers the very next season, and they're. You mentioned Cody Decker, Logan Morrison said something about this. There was a Scott Miller article on Bleacher Report this October that named like seven or eight other teams.
Including the Cubs in that.
Including the Cubs. And, I'm sure all of these things are not to the same level, but it seems to me that if you want to know the truth, which is what I said a couple minutes ago is what I wanted, you need to investigate about a third of the league. Maybe more when that comes to light. So that just seems like something that Major League Baseball won't be interested in doing, because once you know the truth and everybody comes up with their hands dirty, then you've got another steroid scandal, which trying to cover that up didn't make it any less messy in the long run. So who knows?
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Opponents include Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan. Single-game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Michael, you wrote about the Cubs' free agency season in action, and there was sort of an Occam's razor conclusion that you drew, and I was trying to figure out how serious were you. I mean, how was it? Was it just sort of flippant, or did you mean it where you said directly, maybe the Cubs stopped spending on free agents because they're terrible at it?
I think that's been true the past couple of seasons. I mean, that article seems like 2 years ago after all this Astros thing left this week. But it was flippant because the front office there, we know the quality of the people working there. We know how important free agency was to building that first championship team and what looks now to be the only championship team for the foreseeable future. And it's not like they, I think they caught a few bad breaks. I think they made a few bad decisions, and right now they're just sitting it out. I mean, this is something I said in the article. The Cubs and the Ricketts family have done a spent about as much money to influence the Nebraska gubernatorial election as they have to on free agents to influence the NL Central race. So that's they're just sitting it out. And the thrust of the article, or I guess the reason I wrote it, is that can't be acceptable behavior for a team with as much money as the Cubs have, with supposedly pretensions at winning a championship, that's seeing a lot of their competitors in their division and elsewhere in the National League go in the other direction. So, you know, it's a shame.
Do you have any guesses as to what's going on in Chris Bryant's arbitration case and why it's taking as long as it is?
It does seem bizarre that it's been going on this long. I mean, it seems like a pretty... I think part of the problem is the standard for proving malfeasance in that case has to be just higher than common sense, because common sense says that they held them down until the day after they could delay free agency for a season. But you know, in an arbitration case or in any sort of, you know, binding legal proceeding, you know, we all know this is what happened isn't always good enough. So, you know, I think that, it, you know, and these things just take a long time. Should they take 4 years? I hope not, you know, in case I ever get involved in something like that. It just seems like the kind of thing that everybody would want to have resolved quicker, but, you know, not being on the inside, I certainly don't have a guess as to what the delay is.
Michael, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, fellas. Well,
that Michael. Is Michael Bauman of The Ringer.
Pretty stuff. It's very good.
Yeah, he's excellent. I mean, the Ringer in general is just a very, yes. very high quality work. We have a chance for you to win $1,000 in cash with a lucky text keyword coming up, and we have the Midday Midway.
Great.
I have yet another case of science fiction becoming real. You know, I brought you the real missile command
right.
lasers that are going to be in effect. I have something that you can picture from an iconic sci-fi movie that is now going to be a part of real life. And I also have an answer to what happens when a 24-hour business isn't really a 24-hour business.
I have a very curious and Tarantino-like court request and also the wrong way to move your meth. The Midday Midway comes next. It's Bernstein McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Midday Midway brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. As your family prepared this cold and flu season, knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever. Be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 80 clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. And it is time for your chance to win $1,000 cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is donut. D-O-N-U-T. Donut. Text it to 72881 by the end of the hour. The keyword is donut to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Talked a lot of football. The Bears' preposterous new offensive coaching staff, which has every passing game coordinator and the quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator and Matt Nagy and the coordinator, who I think the Bears now need to coordinate all of their coordinators. And we talked about that and talked about John DeFilippo, had a long and interesting conversation with Matt Miller as well. And Michael Bauman talked baseball.
So, you know, there are a bunch of charitable organizations that get themselves together to send mail to inmates, you know, just to, hello, how are you, Christmas cards, that kind of stuff. It's a very noble endeavor, sending mail to people who are disenfranchised like this. However, this goes horribly wrong, and this wasn't a charitable thing. News outlets are reporting that a 40-year-old man, Timothy Lee Snow, though he was sending Christmas cards to inmates, sent the wrong kind to one Bibb County jail inmate, Mary Beth Odom. She had told Snow over the phone that she was looking forward to getting some meth for Christmas and other drugs, too, and gave him instructions on how to send those drugs in a card to the jail. Problem is, deputies intercepted the contraband-filled card, meth, suboxone. They began investigating Snow, the man who sent the card. On January 9th, deputies followed Snow as he left his residence and found him with meth, Xanax, and a revolver. When they searched his home, deputies found more meth, more suboxone, marijuana, steroids, packing materials, a shotgun, and a rifle. Snow was then arrested and charged with possession of a firearm, which, you know, makes sense. Possession of meth with intent to distribute, giving an inmate drugs. Odom, who was already in jail, you know, the inmate he sent it to, now faces additional charges, including to attempt to commit offenses pertaining to the possession of drugs while in jail. This is a bad move. Do not send meth through the mail to anybody.
But now who's going to send
probably
him
don't
mail?
Have meth.
Probably now the charity should send him mail.
That'd be a good way to do it, right? Sorry you got caught for sending meth. Have a happy Christmas.
A Utah man turned to Facebook for advice when he found himself locked inside a 24-hour fitness that had closed for the night. I don't think they understand the point of the 24-hour fitness. Dan Hill said he visited the gym for a late-night workout, and he finished swimming laps in the pool after midnight. And he discovered he was alone in the building, and the doors were locked. He said, doesn't the name suggest they stay open 24 hours?
It does.
He wrote in a Facebook post. He called his wife, who suggested he find a comfortable place to sleep. He ended up calling 911. He called dispatch, and the guy pauses for like 10 seconds and says, you're where? And Hill said, I said, I'm in a 24-hour fitness. There's an alarm system here, and I don't want to get busted for breaking and entering.
Oh, that's fair.
Sure, they got movement sensors and all that. I think that's probably smart. He said he took his Facebook friends on a tour of the gym while waiting for police to arrive. Officers showed up to let him out of the building just before 1 a.m. The manager of the gym said the hours changed in December from 24 hours to 4 a.m. to midnight. He said, we clearly did not do a good job of our closing procedures for this club and will reinforce our club procedures so this doesn't occur in the future, the company said in a statement. I always thought about that. Have you ever been the last guy out of the gym on like holiday hours or something like that?
Yeah, I
you
have don't know time or two.
No.
And, you know, I have, and I've sort of pushed it to the end. I've been there late enough that they're starting to turn off lights. I've been last guy out of the locker room before. And it's got to run through your mind, like, yeah, what if you kind of had the run of the place?
Sure. I was locked in a stairwell at what was then U.S. Cellular Field, now Guaranteed Rate Field.
Okay.
I was very late closing up shop and filing a wrap, you know, when we still did wraps, all that kind of stuff, and had talked to some people and whatnot. And I'm going down the stairwell there behind the press box,
sure.
You know, right where you go into the... All the doors in that stairwell had been locked, including the doors back into the ballpark. So I'm just there, stuck in the stairwell, nowhere to go. I ended up picking one of the floors that you know that leads out to the concourse,
yep.
And just slamming on the door, you know, for about 5 minutes or so, and then somebody who was beginning to clean up the stadium was kind enough to let me out.
I was
going to
say, a naked Don Cooper. whoa.
Oh, you're still here? All right.
That's like the Tyler Hansbrough story that Jason Goff used to tell, because he's Tyler Hansbrough is a complete weirdo and apparently like was locked in a closet as a kid or something, and he couldn't
find the door.
He gets incredibly claustrophobic, and he like went in the wrong door and freaked out at the United Center, and they hit
Tyler.
He had to tranquilize him.
You can open the door.
One day he was doing nothing, his usual pastime, when a corn fell from the sky and hit him on the head.
That man's Acorn. That man's name is Acorn.
I love that drop so much. This I love too. It had actually been sent to me on Twitter. I have a couple of people who wanted to hear it in the midday midway, and since we had to cancel it a couple days for news and stuff, here it is. This from USA Today. A Kansas man asked an Iowa court to grant his motion for trial by combat so he can meet his ex-wife and her attorney, quote, on the field of battle where he will rend their souls from their corporal bodies. David Ostrom, 40 years
easy
old,
there,
of Paola, Kansas, yeah. Claims in court documents that his wife, Bridget Ostrom, 38, destroyed him legally. He asked the Iowa District Court in Shelby County to give him 12 weeks lead time to source or forge katana and wakashazi swords, according to the Carroll Times-Herald.
Wait, what? He's going to Hattori Hanzo.
That's right. To this day, this is from the Ostrom court records. To this day, trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in these United States. And you know someone is serious.
Oh, is he like a sovereign citizen
you
guy?
You know
or
someone is serious when they start referring to the United States as these United States. Mm-hmm. Like you start, that's a little crazy there. Saying it was used, trial by combat, as recently as 1818 in British court. Monday, Ostrom told the Des Moines Register he got the idea after learning about a case in 2016 in which New York Supreme Court Justice Philip Minardo acknowledged that duels had not been abolished. Ostrom said the motion stemmed from his frustrations with the ex-wife attorney. I think I've met Mr. Hudson's absurdity with my own absurdity, he said. Ostrom said his ex-wife can choose her attorney as a champion or stand-in fighter and is offering to duel the man. We've gone with swords. We've gone back and forth with a couple of different iterations of these countersuits and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we are still waiting for the court to determine whether or not presumptive death at the end of this duel would outweigh the damages that would be awarded in the divorce filing.
Wait, they haven't tossed it yet?
No, it hasn't been tossed yet. As best this story says,
all right,
no.
Stay on this one.
Here's the other thing, too. He misspells Ostrom, the guy who wants trial by combat. In his first sentence, he misspells, instead of saying corporal,
right?
He misspells it. That misspelling has been taken by the divorce lawyer as the man is not psychologically with it, and because of misspelling in I want trial by combat, the other lawyer is having that man psychologically tested. So that's holding us up, too.
I think the judge is just entertained at this point.
How could you not be?
Remember the scene at the beginning of Aliens that's a classic Chekhov's rule moment when Ripley is using that giant loader to move crates around?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if you know anything about literature, movies, books, that you know, or storytelling, there's no reason to show her as able to use that loader if it's not going to show up before the movie's over. Anything you see at the beginning of a movie, any skill, any machine, anything that looks new or different, you're going to see at the end of the movie. Well, those things exist, and they're being put to use. A Utah tech company is now teaming up with Delta Airlines with a full-body exoskeleton that lets people lift heavy objects with ease.
Cool.
Delta says they want their employees to start using it very soon. The Guardian XO, a real-life piece of technology that lets a human lift up to 200 pounds repeatedly for up to 8 hours at a time without straining or getting tired. The user bears none of the weight of the exoskeleton or what's carrying it.
Whoa.
It can also be put on or taken off in under a minute. It's to give team members superhuman strength, superhuman endurance, the ability to safely lift a lot of weight over time. So the robot's doing all the work. But I've seen it in action. I've watched video of it. It looks like the person is doing it, but the exoskeleton is doing it. And when we say robots are going to take our jobs, maybe it's a team effort.
Huh.
Maybe the robots are just going to maximize the work that humans can do.
You think one of those suits could get Leonard Floyd to the quarterback a little bit more often?
Well, it's fair to wonder if maybe you won't need to pay players if you just can put any Jamoke in a robot suit.
That'd be kind of fun.
My brother's been in an exoskeleton.
Seriously?
Yeah. For when they were trying to get him to see if his muscles would remember how to walk, they put him in one of those things, and they just, you know, strap you up and everything. Mm-hmm. And it forces you, it makes the body make the movements, and it's one of those things where in theory, for if you have like nerve injuries or spinal injuries, that maybe it'll trigger the muscles to be like, oh yeah, I remember this, and then be able to do it again.
Is it a full body exoskeleton, or just the one that goes up to like the hips, or?
Like up to maybe like the chest area.
Okay. That is really cool.
Yep. Yeah, you should see the video on this.
All right.
It's pretty cool.
What's that? That's the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, unless it's, you know, preempted for news or a Bears Monday, or in this case, a Bears Thursday, which is how we started the show with your calls, which were absolutely fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, Anthony Herron is our next guest. We're going to get into Championship Sunday with two fantastic matchups, a lot of good football. Anthony Herron is next. You got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.